What is up, guys? Welcome to the Think Computers Weekly Tech Podcast. This is episode 239, and our podcast is, of course, brought to you by Amazon. If you go to thinkcomputers.org/Amazon and happen to purchase something, that gives a little kickback and, of course, keeps the podcast ongoing. With me is my co-host, Ryan. What's going on?
Just ready to talk graphics cards and whatever else we get to, but I was just outside, like, I don't know, 30 minutes ago, right, before we came in to prep for the show, and it's so hazy out, right? I'm in the Midwest, and the smoke and stuff has started to make a point here.
Really? Yeah. I saw...
I was driving home from work, and I drive head west to go home, and I was like, man, it's really hazy, and I was like, there's no way it's, like, here, so it's pretty crazy that smoke's made it this far.
Yeah, there. I saw some friends who live, like, in California and more out west than you. I saw some pictures that look like it was Mars. Like it looked
shots of LA and stuff.
Yeah. It's crazy. It just looks kind of scary, honestly.
Yeah.
And like how just like everything is, I mean, it is kind of scary if you obviously, if you own a home too, it's like, am I going to be in the path of the fire? You know, it is a little scary. So, but yeah, guys, we are here to, of course, talk about tech. This is, again, as we always say, this is a long form podcast. So we're not going to be here for a couple minutes. We typically run about an hour. So crack open a drink and get some food and hang out with us. I have my Monster as always, which, yeah, you have. What are you?
It's in the orange, but this is like the purple Pixel or Pixel something. I don't know. It's great.
I thought about doing the Mio.
Can you hear me shaking it?
That's NVIDIA. Well, we'll talk about the new NVIDIA broadcast.
This is the OG NVIDIA RTX voice.
RTX voice. Let's get the page up because I didn't do it correctly.
Whoops.
It should be, I think if I refresh it now, we should be good. But we do have a full show notes page that has everything that we're going to be talking about here on the podcast as Ryan shakes his GPU up. It is linked in the description of wherever you're watching this. So you guys can go ahead and follow along and see everything that we are talking about. Now, of course, this week was launch week for the RTX 3080. And of course, that's what we're going to be talking about first. I think that's why a lot of you guys are here. And for me, I always get excited, but I think this is one launch that I was actually really excited for. And reviewing hardware for so long, I think the last time I was super excited about a launch might have been first gen Ryzen. Mm-hmm. I think that was the last time I was like truly like excited. And
in that case, it's kind of like super excited for them, and it's either a make or break feeling is kind of how that felt, right?
Yeah. And with this, it was like, okay, we're getting what we want from NVIDIA. We're getting the price that seems actually fair now. Mm-hmm. And the performance, which they didn't show any demo, right? They didn't show any live demo of their performance. They just showed us these graphs and say, you know, twice as fast as the 2080 or the 3080, which is like, we haven't had that type of performance jump in a while. So I got really excited. I obviously got a card, not a reference card, but an aftermarket card from our friends over at MSI. And I had been testing it. But before I tell you about the card, I'll tell you about my journey of testing this card, because I feel like it's kind of relevant. If you can, I don't know if I do have some more bags under my eyes, but yeah. Every launch, we usually get the product like a week, sometimes 3 days before launch day. But this time it was a week. So I felt like I had more than enough time to get everything done. I built our X299 machine, which is a little older, but it's not crazy old. And I got everything up and running, got all my games installed. I was ready to go. I started testing. We tested, I think, 7 total graphics cards. And I would say testing of a card takes a day per card, something like that, depending on, you know, how much I'm sitting there and doing it. And I test a 2080 Ti, I test a 2080 Super, and then I test the 3080. And I'm like, these results are way too close. Like, they're just way too close in a lot of the games. And to find out that the CPU was pegging on a few cores, which caused the 3080 to not perform like it should have. So at the last minute, I was like, I got to do something because this isn't going to look right. This isn't, you know, we want.
Yeah, these results aren't accurate.
Yeah. And that does happen, especially if you have this was an 18 core chip that runs stock. Like, it's just a lower. It's not like a 10900K, which we switched to, which boosts to 5 gigahertz. I think this thing only boosted maybe not even to 4. So you can run into those issues when you have those type of processors. So I was like, okay, screw this. I have to completely start over. So I wanted to test just to make sure it wasn't the card. So I had our B550 system, and I just, the games that I was having issues, installed those games, ran it, and I was like, okay, there's definitely a difference here. So then I completely rebuilt our Z490 system and the 10900K and all of that, and got everything up and running. And then I had like two nights in a row where I was up till between 3 and 5 a.m. testing cards, and then all the way till last night where I was up till 3 a.m. because we did a video on the card and all of that. So it's been an interesting week.
Yeah, you were pretty quiet like almost the last week on social media.
Yeah,
you know? we usually talk just about every day or so, you know. Yeah. And it was like, oh, I'm pretty sure he's pretty busy with video cards
friends, like I didn't text back till today, like calls, like everything, like nothing was. Emails that I didn't get back to, it was just like all testing graphics cards, which is fine. But I I'm like so mad at myself because I set myself up to not have that issue and I still had it.
Talking about the number of times you have to test, like, and the time it takes per card. I saw like Paul's Hardware was tweeting about like, yeah, you have how many graphics cards you test across how many games, across like how many runs you do on that to like get an average, how many resolutions. Yep. It just like multiplies.
Yeah. I believe we did. I can look at our review. Like I said, this past week has been such a blur. But I believe we did in our games, I think we did 7 cards across 7 games. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Yeah. 7 cards across. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. 6 games across 6 games, plus of course
benchmarks. 3 resolutions.
Yeah, 3 resolutions, yep. And we do 3 runs per game. So yeah, it's very taxing. But that's my quick story. I obviously don't want to bore you guys too much with all of that. But we took a look at MSI's GamingX Trio, which is a very large card. I'll put myself up on here so we can. So you guys can see this, but this, if I can move it sort of in the way, this is their card. It's a very big card, triple fan cooling solution. And the big difference with this card to say a reference card is you are getting a slight factory overclock in the GPU boost. So the reference cards will boost up to 1710 megahertz. This boosts up to 1815 megahertz. That probably will equate to like 1 to 3 FPS. It's not massive, but it's extra performance that they put into the card. The second big thing you're getting with this card is the cooling solution, which you can see the massive heat sinks there. And of course, the triple fan design. Again, NVIDIA talked extensively about their new cooling solution on the reference cards. We don't have one here, so we couldn't test this against that. I don't know how well that does, but this, I was actually incredibly surprised. You see big, you know, you see triple fan, you see these big cooling solutions and they're incredibly loud. This was actually quieter than a lot of the 2-fan cooling solutions on the cards that we did test. And they have this, it's so hard to see. If you look at the blades there, you can see 2 of them are actually connected there towards the outer ring. I don't know if you can see that in the video,
I was noticing that, like, it's only every 2, right?
Yeah, so
it's not all of them. Okay.
Asus actually did that with their strict, like the 2080 Ti Strix that I actually have. It goes around the whole thing. They've done it with 2 blades, but that increases the airflow down into the cooling solution, and it's not, this thing does not get that hot. Like, it's a really great cooling solution. As far as it's like, they didn't have the official spec, but I don't think it's 3 slot. It's like a 2.5 or 2.7 slot.
Not
I
would quite say. Three.
Yeah. Now it is longer than a lot of other cards as well. So this is 323 millimeters long. All you mini ITX 300 millimeter people, this will not fit in your case. So you have to think about that. And again, we don't have that NVIDIA 12 pin that we saw on the reference. That is an NVIDIA only thing, at least for right now. So you have three PCI Express 8-pin power connectors there. And then we do have the backplate, which is not metal. It's plastic. Well, it's graphene.
Graphene,
so,
yep.
Yeah, so it is this sort of, I don't know if it's a polymer. I didn't have a whole lot of time to research it.
It's basic. Yeah, it's like a carbon based, like honeycomb designed material. There's all sorts of like new uses coming out for it. I was surprised to actually see that it was graphene. It's pretty cool.
Yeah, and the whole idea, at least what MSI is saying, or but you know what they're saying, is that this allows you to still get that stability in the back of the card, but you also get better heat transfer properties than you would with plastic. So the whole idea is having something that makes the card essentially lighter, but allows it to transfer heat sort of in the same way that metal would. So, so overall design, cooling, the card is great. I'll bring up our review so you guys can see our benchmarks, which of course, I'm sure a lot of you guys are interested in. Let's add this. Oops. Add it over here. And pretty much in all of our benchmarks, like it's the number one card. In all of the synthetic benchmarks, it's the number one card. And we'll move to gaming benchmarks. Gaming benchmarks, one thing I did is I made sure we compared it to cards. We compared it to a 2080 Ti, 2080 Super, 2070 Super, 2060 Super, a 1080 Ti, which I think a lot of people have because it's
still a very relevant card.
Yeah, it's a very relevant card. And a lot of people didn't buy 20 series because they had the 1080 Ti. And if you didn't want to do RTX, you didn't really want to. There was no need to upgrade. So what I've done, if you guys want to check out the review, of course, it's linked in the show notes. But we do our testing 1080p, 1440p, and 4K. We have all the results for each individual game. But at the bottom, I did a graph of what percent faster is the 3080 at, you know, take a median of all of our games, and what percent faster is the 3080 at 1080p, at 4K, and at 1440p. We have that graph for you. I'll go over it really quickly. At 1080p, you're not going to see that big disparity that you'll see at 4K. But at 1080p, it's still 24% faster than a 2080 Super, which, again, just launched just over a year ago for the exact same price. So that is very good. For those who have a 1080 Ti still, it's about 33% faster at 1080p. And then at 2080 Ti, it's about 13%.
You didn't mention this, but 5700 XT also is in the list of cards tested.
Yeah, against. Yeah, that is the one
AMD representation as well.
Yeah, we're not all NVIDIA. We could have tested even more down the board, but based on the performance of this card, we kind of kept it to those cards. 1440p, you're going to see a little bit more of a disparity between the cards. So it's about 17% faster than a 2080 Ti. About 30% faster than a 2080 Super, and about 40% faster than a 1080 Ti 1440p. Mm-hmm. And for those wondering about a 5700 XT, it's about 44% faster at 1440p. And then, of course, the big disparity is 4K. This is where this card shines. You have 10 gigabytes of GDDR6 memory on this, and in 4K, it kind of blows everything out of the water. So we saw a biggest disparity. It is about 22% faster than a 1080 or than a 2080 Ti. It's about 39% faster than a 2080 Super, and it is about 48% faster than a 1080 Ti. So that and like 57% faster than a 5700 XT. This is the 4K card in our testing. Almost all of our games with like very high settings at 4K, we're able to get over 100 FPS. And I think that that is kind of what this card is. This is the 4K card. If you have a 20 series or even a 10 series and you're not gaming at 4K, I wouldn't necessarily say this is a card you should upgrade to because you're not going to take advantage of it, right? If you want high frame rate, you know, you have a 144 hertz plus monitor, then yes, you can take advantage of this. We saw MSI and Asus, you know, announce their 360 hertz monitors for esports titles. This card can definitely push that. But it's just the performance is there, and they said 2x the performance of the 2080. We saw about 40%, which would be almost 2x the performance, would be 50%. So yeah, I think it's the performance is there. I mean, it's an awesome card.
Yep.
We also tested RTX in DLSS. And the thing about RTX when the 20 series launched, there was one game that supported it.
Battlefield 5, right?
Yeah, was Battlefield 5. And in most of the titles that launched or that added RTX after that, even if you turned it on, the performance hit was never worth it. You would, you know, get over 60 FPS, you turn RTX on, you're below 30 sometimes. It just wasn't worth it. So with the RTX 3080, we have more RT cores now, so your performance hit isn't that much. On top of that, we have DLSS, and the number of titles that support RTX and DLSS are so much more now, so it makes a lot more sense. If you guys don't know what DLSS is, it basically renders the game at a lower resolution and then upscales it to whatever resolution you're running, and you really can't tell the difference. So that allows you to get more FPS out of a game. So we tested...
It's a really cool feature, honestly. Like, it's pretty impressive how well it looks.
Yeah, so we tested Metro Exodus that supports both RTX and DLSS. So we tested it at the RTX setting in the benchmark, and with no RTX, we're at just over 70 frames a second at 4K. We turn RTX on, we do get that performance hit, right? So it goes down to about 50 FPS, so about 20 FPS performance hit if you turn RTX on, which is kind of expected. Not as bad as it was on the 20 series. But then we turn RTX off, we turn DLSS on. So if you just wanted to get more FPS in general, that brings us from 70 FPS to about 81 FPS. So at 4K, you can even push even further. But the key thing here is with Metro is that you can, that it supports both RTX and DLSS. So we turn both of those on and we get 68.59 frames per second. So we went from no RTX, no beautiful ray trace, nothing at 70 frames a second. And then we turn RTX and DLSS on and we're at 68 frames. So basically a 2-frame loss.
Right.
That's
better quality graphics. Yeah.
Yeah. So that is kind of where you see games that support both, you're really going to see that. But the RTX hits aren't as bad as the previous generation. And that's a big thing. That is, it makes it worth it for games you want to play that are going to be beautiful. And there's a lot now, even like I said, Fortnite now has RTX. obviously, we saw Minecraft RTX. It is a really cool thing to turn on. So you have all that with this card. And another thing we didn't even talk about, I didn't really talk about in the review because I didn't really have time to test it, is certain features like NVIDIA Broadcast that you're going to get. We're actually using what kind of morphed into NVIDIA Broadcast, which is RTX Voice. So when Ryan shakes his shaker, you obviously can't hear it. That is all made possible with the hardware that's inside your RTX series graphics card. So if you are a streamer or podcaster, you can take advantage of it. We both are, so you can't hear, like, I have an air conditioner running back there. You can't hear it. You know what I mean? So yeah, it's you get all of that. There's some really cool video features where you can blur out your background using your graphics card and all of that. So for the reference card is $699. This card is $749, so a $49 premium. I think it's worth it for the overclock, the great cooling solution. Full cover backplate. We didn't even go over.
I forget the RGBs, man.
Yeah, the RGB lighting. Mm-hmm. So the car does have some pretty nice RGB lighting. I'll get to the pictures so you guys can see it. And you know, you have like some RGB elements right around the fan. The MSI logo lights up with RGB lighting. And then you have this strip along the top. And you can kind of see the reflection here on our CPU cooler. Obviously, this isn't a test bench, but if you have this, say, installed in a case, it's really going to shine throughout the case and give you kind of more RGB lighting or really kind of illuminate the inside of your case. So that is really nice to have.
That's a pretty big light strip, of really.
It is decently big, yes. And you can, again, you can see the reflection off our CPU cooler. So you can imagine what that would look like closed, you know, in a closed in a case. So like I said, it's a really good card from MSI. $49 premium isn't bad for what you're getting, I would say. And I think that just in general, people are super excited for these cards. I mean, just the performance that you're getting. And again, if you are looking to upgrade and you want a game on 4K, this is a card that you can actually game at 4K and it's enjoyable. I think even 1080 Ti, yeah, people said you could do it. 2080 Ti, yeah, people said you could do it, but there was still, you still ran into some issues and it wasn't just like that super smooth experience. This is that. So I think that's kind of the big thing here. For the MSI card, I gave it a 10 out of 10 because I honestly couldn't find anything wrong with it. There's really, the you know, when it comes to graphics cards, performance is there, and that's obviously due to NVIDIA. Sure. And they put an overclock on it, which is fine with me. The overclock doesn't affect the cooling performance of the cooler, and the cooler is very quiet. I like the design of the card. RGB lighting is nice. There's no issues for me for this card. So check out the review. Obviously, these are going to be very hard to find.
About scarcity on any of that?
Joe says current street price about $2,000. Yeah, I had actually had a friend offer me $1,000 for this card right here, which obviously I'm not selling. But yeah, they're very hard to find. I think a lot of people, they said they would be available at 9 a.m. at most websites, and they were sold out immediately. I honestly think the big reason why there's not going to be a whole lot of these is because of GDDR6X. It was just announced by Micron, right? There's not a whole lot of it out there, and that means that they can't even build the cards to, you know, for these, so you're not going to find them. I would say if you live near a Micro Center or a Fry's, call them and ask them to hold one for you, or say you'll pay for it now, and that, you know, that's kind of, or, you know, you can set up the email alerts for Amazon, for NVIDIA.com, all of that stuff. But that's, I would say, try to like talk to somebody in person and tell them that, you know, you'll prepay or whatever.
I was reading an article before the show also, and, you know, I saw that bots were probably a pretty big thing. And there were some screenshots of some tweets that are now gone, but showing like people that were able to get like 42 of these cards using a bot to buy them and check them out. Right. And so that's like, that's how all these cards end up on eBay. And, you know, everybody's kind of been fighting back, it looked like. I saw some posts throughout the day of these cards being like bid up to like $20,000 so that they don't sell, so that the people that did buy them and are trying to resell them won't be able to, right? Nobody's going to pay $20,000 for one of these cards. So the people that bought them to resell them, they're kind of, that's their way of punishing them, which is kind of funny. But I know NVIDIA and Newegg and, you know, a lot of these vendors are trying to, even go, NVIDIA said they were going to go through every order.
Oh, wow.
Like one by one, essentially, to, because really they're limiting it to one per person. But these bot makers were saying, well, we've got ways around like that with our ordering system. Our thing is kind of crazy.
Yeah, typically, I mean, we saw it. Was that Ryzen 3000 series that was one per household when it first launched?
I think so. Yeah.
I think so. Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, people are always going to find a way around it. I know, like I said, my buddy just built a computer, and I loaned him a graphics card to put in. He's like, yeah, I'm just going to, you know, I'm going to build it, and you just use your graphics card for a week, and then I'll buy it, you know, today. And he was like texting me all day, like, oh man, like I can't get it anywhere. And I was like, yeah, it's just like, you know, that's just how it is. But I think the big thing is the GDDR6X, and just like give it a week and we'll kind of see. I know they're going to be scarce at times, but I think that it's not going to be like, I can't imagine it being like so scarce where like in a month you won't be able to get them.
I don't know. I feel like it might be that case. But we're really? Also not in a time of like, well, there's also people were saying that these are really good at crypto mining again, like the 3080s, like the numbers they were getting out of them were pretty impressive. So are we going to be back into that whole thing? You can't find any graphics card anywhere because they're all being bought up by miners.
Yeah. I mean, that could be a thing too.
Back in that.
Yeah. Well, I should put this in and see what I do here. I haven't crypto mined in so long.
Yeah.
It's
going to be wintertime. You have to be able to heat the place.
I know. Yeah. I'm very impressed with what NVIDIA does. I think the big thing, and I talked about it, we actually have a video as well on YouTube if you guys want to watch my video on the card. But the big thing I said is that they nailed it on price. I feel the card is priced correctly. It's priced to get in the hands of a lot of people as well. And the performance is there from what they said. We always see these. I was excited. What was that? The Vega cards when they were first announced by AMD. And I was like, but then the performance wasn't close to what they said it would be. So it was like,
yeah. You're like, where's the asterisk and the fine print, right? So that you can legally say this, but only in these certain conditions, right?
Well, again, the two times the performance of the 2080 is at 4K. It's that disparity keeps on getting lower and lower as you go down, because as you get into lower benchmarks, you're getting kind of limited by what your CPU, like you have so much horsepower in your GPU, your CPU is basically throttling or limiting your performance. Yep. So that's kind of, but anyways, back to our other reviews. Like I said, that's all we're going to talk about with the RTX series as far as our review. Anybody who's in live stream, if you want to ask questions, definitely just leave it there and we'll definitely get to you guys. Joe said glad he didn't buy a 2080 Ti. What's kind of crazy is we did see, like, when NVIDIA first had an announcement, everybody was selling their 20 series for really cheap. Like, and then after today, because nobody can get anything, everybody's buying those cards back. So the market is kind of stabilized. We're like, I think we did see, didn't we see like a 2080 Founders Edition sold for $250.
Someone was selling one for $250, yes.
Yeah, and now
that would have been a nice buy.
Now they're like between like $400 and $800 now, which I think is more justified. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And then Speed Gaming says, do you think the 37 would be optimal card at 1440p for an average consumer for the next few years? I would say based on what NVIDIA has said, obviously we don't have a 3070. Based on what NVIDIA has said, and if it's the same, yeah, because they said it's more powerful than a 2080 Ti. Mm-hmm. We have a 2080 Ti, we tested it, and it's an awesome 1440p card. So I think that would be an optimal 1440p card. I think that's where it's going to be positioned too, just for the fact that like the 3080 is the 4K card, 3070 will be 1440p, 3060 if we see one will be maybe 1080. I mean, it just, I don't think we'll go down that low,
that seems
almost
like a low, lower frame rate 1440. I don't know.
Yeah So we'll see, but yeah, I think that the 3070 would be optimal for 1440p for sure. But what, getting back to another awesome product that we reviewed, which seems like I reviewed it 3 years ago because I've just been testing graphics cards. I took a look at Asterox B550 Tai Chi motherboard, and for a second tier chipset, right? This is an X570. This is probably the best Tai Chi board that I've ever reviewed. And I reviewed a lot of them. First, this board is absolutely beautiful. The Tai Chi boards are beautiful in general, but this board, they changed the colors of the heat sinks to sort of like this bronze now. The little gear is cool. Like, it's just an absolutely beautiful motherboard. On top of that, it's probably the most feature-packed B550 board you're going to see. It has 2.5 gig LAN. It has Wi-Fi 6. They've actually enabled PCI Express Gen 4 on not just the top PCI Express slot, but the two of them. So technically, you could run two cards at X8 speeds at Gen 4, which I think only one other company did. You also get, of course, the top M.2 slot is Gen 4. You know, they've done all of this you have power reset on the board, you have postcode display, you have USB 3.2 Gen 2, we have a load of USB ports on the actual rear I/O, you have not 6, but 8 SATA. Like, they've just overdone
this board. This does not feel like a B550 board at all.
Yeah.
Like, this is awesome value.
Yeah, there's so much here. But the whole thing is, you talk about that value. B550 is supposed to be a value chipset, meaning that B550 is supposed to be cheaper than the X570 variant of whatever this board is. We see it all the time, like with all the other companies, like their X570 board is priced $50 more than their B550. And some of those features aren't in the B550 board. They've taken out Wi-Fi 6, or they only put 1 gig LAN or whatever. And you guys can see the rear I/O here. You know, you have a ton of USB ports. You have everything, 2.5 gig LAN, all of that. It's the problem with this board is that it's priced at the exact same price as the X570 Tai Chi. And that in itself is problematic because, yes, this has everything. This is everything that you want, but it still lacks full support for Gen 4 across all of the M.2 slots and across all of the PCI Express slots. Yes, you still get it for what you would probably use it for, but if I'm paying the same price, I'd rather go for
get the full feature board.
I do have to say, this board does look better. This is a better looking board than the X570, which I reviewed. You know, it's hard to justify that. You could say that this board uses less power because the chipset technically uses less power, but it's like, negligible. And it actually has a better VRM than the X570 version. You know, but it's a hard sell. Yeah. It's a very hard sell when you have like the Asus ROG B550 F Gaming, which is 180, I think, and this is $300. $300 is a lot of money for a B550 motherboard, and that's kind of it's a hard sell. It's like, you can't say that this is a bad motherboard because it has everything. It has all the latest. The only thing it doesn't have is Thunderbolt 3, which hardly any boards do, right? But besides that, it has everything. Wi-Fi 6, USB 3.2 Gen 2, has the USB 3.2 Gen 2 internal header. It has one of the
2.5 LAN.
Yeah, 2.5 gig LAN. It has the best VRM that I've seen on a B550 board. It's beautiful. It, you know, like, it has everything. But when you're looking at B550, I don't think you're looking to spend $300 on a motherboard. That was X570. That's kind of what you expected. It's a hard sell. I still gave it a 9 out of 10 because it is the best B550 motherboard that I've reviewed. But if it was me, I would get the X570 Tai Chi just because you get full Gen 4 across everything, meaning that you could run two M.2 drives at Gen 4 speeds, not one at Gen 4 and one at Gen 3.
They were designing this board and not paying attention to how much like their bill of materials is going to cost. They're like, oh, throw in this and let's do that. And then they get to the end and they're like, oh, this is like,
and the thing is, it's like, price. It wouldn't be hard to take out some of that cost.
I think you could take out Wi-Fi.
You could do either or, right? You could take out 2.5 gig LAN and put one, like a 1 gig, or you could take out the Wi-Fi, like either or there. You also, I don't know who is using all 8 SATA ports with M.2.
8's a lot, yeah.
Yeah, 8 is a lot. The chipset supports 6. Just leave it 6. You don't need that extra controller there. And again, like, you have
how many M.2 did it have?
2.
2. Okay, so yeah, that's plenty of drive space.
Like, yeah. And then just like some of the other things, it was nice to have, like, there's a clear CMOS on the board itself and on the rear I/O. Take one of those out because you don't need both. It's the board design and everything is almost exactly the same as the X570 version. They've beefed up the VRM it's just a hard sell at that price. Like, again, B550, you're just looking for you're looking for cost savings and you're not getting it with this board. So that's kind of where I'll go ahead and leave that. And we'll move on to our next review, which is some home Wi-Fi, which I think a lot of people might need to upgrade these days. I'll let you bring up your...
Yeah, that's kind of, you know, how I started or thinking about this review was, so this is the Meshforce M3 whole home wireless system. As the name implies, it is a mesh wireless network. But yeah, I'm controlling the screen. I was like, all right, if you can scroll down, but I'm in control here, right? Yeah, so we have both 2.4 and 5 gigahertz network here, AC1200. So the AC network is up to 867 megabit. The 2.4 in network is up to 300 megabit. So really we've got, let me get over here to page 2 and actually have the thing here. And it's crazy because this base unit, so it comes with the base unit, which I have in my hand here.
Oh, that's a lot smaller than I thought it would be.
Oh yeah, it's tiny. And I mentioned this in the comments. It's like, this thing weighs like nothing. And I was like, did I get like sent an empty box? Well, like what's in here? I didn't crack it open because there's not like screw holes that are visible.
It's probably like a small little PCB.
Oh, it's gotta be because it's got, you know, power and laying on the back. You've got a reset button. You got an LED up front, but there's maybe a wire antenna in here. Is about it. But anyhow.
Yeah.
Oh, sorry. Yeah.
Well, yeah.
So we've got the space unit that kind of acts as your primary piece. So you can run the system with just this device if you want. And they sell this separately on its own. But where it really comes into play and the mesh comes into play is these M3 dot units. So they just plug into a wall. You know, you've probably seen these wireless extenders that you can buy to expand your network. Well, these just talk directly with the Meshforce M3 base unit. They just plug in. Super easy. The nice thing about these on the setup is if you've configured the main unit, you don't have to do any configuration to add these extra devices.
That is nice.
Other than plugging plug it in. Yeah. So I had this one running, you know, it's down here and I was like, all right, I'm going to go upstairs, plug them in. And I'll talk about this in the app. It's like, hey, you don't have to do anything. Just plug it in. They're like prepaired essentially. So you just plug them in and it's like, boom, shows up and is online. So that's like a really nice ease of use. But kind of getting back, I guess I kind of skipped forward with everybody working from home or so many more people working from home. And maybe, you know, you're used to working in an area or your computer's in an area where the TV is. And now there's kids there doing remote learning or your spouse is there and they've got, you know, you got more devices in places and things like that. This just helps spread out the wireless across your house as opposed to using one access point in a single location. This uses mesh technology in order to, you know, kind of spread out that wireless network in your house. So the nice thing about, I'm going to scroll back up for just a second. On the main base unit, we have a WAN and LAN port here on the back that obviously connects to your modem from your ISP. And then we have a LAN port to connect to the rest of your network. So you can do a wired backhaul to the other units. Let me go back down to them. On the bottom, they have a LAN port. Oh, so they can function two ways, right? You can have a wired or wireless backhaul. So these M3 dot units can talk back to the main unit either over a wired or wireless connection. Obviously, the best results are going to come from having a wired connection between them. And that, you know, obviously helps get the signal to them more robustly. You're not relying on wireless to, you know, communicate the traffic from your clients back to the main unit and then back, you know, out the network. So that's a really nice feature, I thought, as well, having that wired backhaul as opposed to just relying on wireless signal. Because if you're trying to spread that wireless signal to other locations and you're just putting these there, well, they're getting the same maybe low wireless signal that your device would get anyhow. So, super simple setup. These are... Oh, what did I do there? I went all the way full size, it looks like.
Doing it live.
Doing it live. No, it's all good. So setup on this is similar to some newer devices and IoT devices really specifically. You're setting it up on your smartphone, right? So you download the app, the MyMesh app. You scan for this wireless network. And actually the information to join the network is on the bottom here. You can either scan a QR code or it has the SSID and password. You just put that in, connect to the device, go through a really simple setup. I've got screenshots of kind of that whole process here in the review. Real easy to set up. Again, it tells you, you know, power on the mesh pointer dot, and then just check the color indicator on the front. As long as it's green, you're good to go. The app is all right. And this is where I was kind of frustrated with this system, is it does everything you need it to do, but it is definitely not highly configurable. So like, if you have this working as your main router for your network and being a DHCP server, you can turn on DHCP server, but you can't select like, I only want it to give out 50 IP addresses. Yeah. And I can't see like the DHCP leases. So I can't tell what devices I've given out IP addresses to. It's like a basic feature that you would want to see on any device.
Yeah, but I think that these companies...
Some people don't care.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that's what I think. I think that some, especially like these wireless and these IoT devices, is that they try to make it as simple as possible. Yep. The less options mean it's more simple. And that's great for people who don't care, but for people like us who want to configure things and want to see what's going on in our network, that's where you want those features. As a power user, you want those features.
Yeah, so like, here's a screen here. This is kind of the homepage. We show the MyMesh main unit here, and then the two devices that are online. It's kind of cool. It shows you how many devices are connected to each unit. So, I've got one device connected to each of these right now. It shows the current bandwidth that's being used. I wish that these numbers also included like a total for the day, or, you know, you could reset it, because it doesn't give you a total amount of bandwidth that's been used. Would have been nice to see there, but it's not horribly important. There are some other settings that I was a little sad to see them featured, but not really do much. There's one called parental control. So to me as a parent, I would assume I can say, I don't want any adult sites. I don't want violence. I don't want, you know, X, Y, or Z categories allowed for them. All this really is scheduling of, yes, you can get to the internet, or no, you can't. And here's the times and days you can. So it's like calendaring, you know, network connectivity.
Yeah, not, it's not very detailed.
It's not parental controls. This is, Anyhow, QoS is kind of the same thing, right? Quality of service. We can turn it on or off. It says that if you turn it on, it, what do we say here? QoS, we can set that. Oops. It just says that it prioritizes game and web browsing, but you can't say, I want my games to be more prioritized, yeah, or I want my streaming video, or, you know, whatever the case may be. There's no configuration. So again, for like someone that doesn't care about that and just wants something super simple, this will be great for them. People like us, maybe not. We kind of want to mess with it. So that's really kind of my piece there. Another item I was a little concerned about is the lack of the word firewall anywhere on this product. Not in their documentation, their website, they don't mention it. You know, they're probably relying on network address translation for that. There's no intrusion detection or any advanced firewall security features. So that just kind of scares me. Doesn't make me feel too good. It's probably all right, but I'm not a big fan. Anyhow,
yeah.
Performance wise, we use the LAN speed test. So you run a client on your, you know, laptop, for instance, and then you have another device on your network, typically a wired device on the LAN, that you kind of communicate back and forth with, writing files. You can configure it all sorts of ways. The thing with my laptop is it's only a 1x1 AC. It's an Intel dual band wireless card, so it's not going to meet some of the high speeds that this can offer, but we didn't really see those high speeds anyhow. In some of our write tests, it did outperform our TP-Link Archer, which we were really happy with when we reviewed it 2 years ago, beating it by, you know, decent amounts in different locations. So we have multiple locations we tested with. It pretty much beat them in all of those. And the read, which was kind of weird, so when we were reading from it or pulling data off of the device, it got stomped by the other device. So I don't know if it's something with the chip in it that's not just built to, you know, transmit as much as it is pulling in. Just seemed like some odd tests. And I ran tests multiple times, different devices, just could not get it to perform, at least in this test. Now, copying files across the network and just standard use of it didn't notice any issues at all. Had great signal strength when I added the extra dot units, like on the main level of the house and the second floor. Whereas when I just had this main unit right here in the basement, my signal obviously wasn't very strong on the second floor. But as soon as I had those dot units attached, signal was much better. So,
okay.
Just something to look at there. I gave it, ended up giving it a 7. And most of that was because I felt like, from our perspective, the configuration options that I would like to see in a device just weren't there. And I know some of them are more advanced, but I just feel like some of them should really be there. Basic security options, some basic configuration options, and just misleading on some of them. Parental controls is not parental controls.
Yeah. I think that a lot of these devices should have, like, just like in my BIOS videos, we have an easy mode and then we have like an advanced mode where you can change pretty much anything. Like even you don't even have to be able to change pretty much everything, but like give us an advanced mode where like if we're a power user, we can go in and change these things. Right.
Exactly.
Yeah. I think that, and you see, again, you see this with all of these mesh and extender devices, like it's made to be easy, which makes sense because the people installing these probably aren't tech people all that much. So that makes sense there.
It's an affordable product as well, right? Yeah. It's like $170. It's out of stock right now, or at least last when I published. But yeah, it goes for $170. So really to increase the wireless coverage of your house or wherever you're using this, not a bad price. Super easy to install, right? Adding those dots, you just plug them into power and they're good to go. And you can add up to 6 dots to this device. So it comes with 2, but you can buy more individually and pair them with this kit. So
one thing I do have to say is that I had my, not the last place we lived, but the place before that, again, it was just like a 1-bedroom apartment, right? And my, all the, you know, the router I had was fine, no problem. And then Kayla and I moved to the 3-story townhouse and there was like, no way, no way. The Wi-Fi was going all through that thing. Yeah. So we had the decos, the TP-Link decos. Huh? Yeah. And that just like, I think if you live anywhere bigger than like a 2-bedroom apartment, even sometimes in a 2-bedroom apartment, you do have coverage issues. Like these, a system like this is a great addition to your router, right? Mm-hmm. That's how I run the deco units even here. Like I have them plugged in.
And you can run this in bridge mode, right? So it doesn't have to function as your primary device. You can run it in bridge mode. So that's where you get a little value out of it from our use, right? I want my firewall, you know, my pfSense firewall taking care of all those duties.
Yeah.
But, you know, throw this in as wireless. We had a couple questions. I know Joe Brown said he'd much rather run DDWRT or what was the other tomato router, right? On some old Linksys gear. That's always a nice thing to be able to do. He also asked about the backhaul speeds. The reason we didn't test with backhaul speeds is I don't have wired Ethernet running from the basement or throughout the house. And the cables I do have here, if I would have ran them through the house, I probably would have stayed connected to this main base unit the whole time. You can't choose which point you connect to either, and you can't within the app move a device from one point to the other.
Gotcha.
So that's kind of why we didn't test that, but they are gig connections on there, so that is there. And then Old Man said something about setting up something like this so he could set up a NAS in the detached garage for data backup and streaming. I don't know, I mean, you could definitely run your backups across a wireless network.
I think that the mesh systems in general are like such a good thing. Mm-hmm. I just think for us, for power users, for people, it just like how I've always run the TP-Link units that I have, they're always an addition to the current router that I'm using.
Yeah.
And that handles all of my security, it handles everything else. And it's just an addition to give, you know, I have all of these smart home devices in here that just need better coverage. And if I'm in the bedroom and I want to watch Netflix on my Fire TV stick, I want to, you know, just a good wireless connection there. So it's, I think they're great. I think they're, you know, a good thing. So, guys, check out Ryan's review for sure. And we'll move to our last review. Four reviews this week. It's a busy week.
That's a lot, especially for a graphics card launch week.
Yeah, well, you guys, I mean, I did too. I had the B550 motherboard done before, so even the weekend. But Paul reviewed a flash drive, which we don't. I used to like love flash drives. Like I never went anywhere without a flash drive, and I think that
I now keep them that, in my bag.
Yeah, they're so like they every tech
well. Person, You're Mr. Portable SSD now, yeah, right? You've essentially replaced your flash drives with portable SSDs, which makes sense.
But he took a look at the T4 Spark, which is 128 gigabytes, which is like one of the perfect size for something so small. Mm-hmm. It is their RGB USB flash drive, USB 3.2 Gen 1. So you're going to get pretty fast speeds on this, and it has some RGB lighting, which I wouldn't say that's necessary. But it's a nice little drive, you know what I mean? And we're not gonna go over it in full like crazy as we've been doing because we're already at almost an hour.
I know. I looked at the time and I was like, oh
yeah, so we have a lot of stuff to talk about, but it's just like it's your typical USB drive, which is great. And in his testing, it did pretty well, but the write speeds were a little bit low. But you do kind of run into that sometimes, especially with these. Mm-hmm. I'll show you like the right is just a little, not all that high. You do, but the reads, and again, most of the time you're reading from these drives, so it's not that big of a deal. But your write speeds, it has a lot to do with the controller. It really does on these because they can't fit with space and as well as with heat. They can't fit like a controller that you would see on, say, like a portable SSD. So you have, you run into that stuff at times. So I believe that he gave it.
Do you know if the RGB was just on the front of the packaging? It shows like capacity wise, right? I think it was like green if it's good on capacity, red if it wasn't.
Oh, I didn't.
Can you? I don't know if you.
Yeah.
Sorry.
That's cool. But he gave it an 8 out of 10. Just the write speeds were a little bit low. So if you guys are in the market for a new USB drive, which I think again, if you can't afford the portable SSDs that I use, and again, these are smaller than those, super easy to carry. This is one you guys should go ahead and
check. That's pretty affordable. I mean, I think this one was $28. Yeah,
it's not that expensive at all. And that brings us to, of course, Case Mod Friday. And it seems like, again, we're recording here on Thursday, and it just seems like it's been forever since I even posted this Case Mod. But it is Project Limbo, which is from Overchilled. And this is done in the Antec Striker case. And again, like the biggest thing I see with this is like, here's Antec with a really cool case, with a really cool case mod that like you just hear nothing about. Like, where's their PR on any of this stuff? I don't know. That's just me ranting about Antec. But this is obviously, as you guys can see, this is an Aorus themed mod with some pretty cool water cooling. Things are done here a little bit differently, but it's an Aorus did feature it. Like they have, it's called Design Your Aorus Project. And one thing I really like, let me see if I can find a picture of it, is you have the Aorus logo and the flow meter. Yeah. So that's really cool. Aorus colors, which I'm a huge fan of the orange Aorus. I know a lot of people hate it. I like it. Here's it with some different, everything some
RGB
and but like it's a really cool case with the graphics card on the front, which we typically don't see, I would say.
No.
That's
cool how they have, I don't know if that's photoshopped on or if that is a sticker, but they have like their Instagram Overchilled PC builds right there.
That is that's on the cool.
Okay, so it is on there.
Yeah, you can see it here as well.
There you go. Cool.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like I said, it's nice. It's just like a cool case that, again, Antec has that you hear nothing about. Like, if I wouldn't have seen this mod, I would have never known about this case for the most part.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely check this out, guys. As I always say, we have our full section of Case Mod Friday builds that we have. So you guys can get some inspiration to build something, or, you're just looking to see what's possible, or you're just into PCs and you want to check it out. We have a full section there. Also, we did not announce our new contest this week just because it's been a hell of a week.
Well, hectic. I would say
a little hectic. We will have something for you guys next week, so stay tuned. We'll obviously push it out to social media. If you're not subscribed to our email newsletter, our contest always goes to our email newsletter first. So if you want to get in on the contest first thing, you can just sign up on the website. And that brings us to news. So it seems like, again, it was like all NVIDIA for weeks. That's all we talked about. We didn't hear anything from AMD. Last week, right before the podcast, we obviously said we heard that AMD will be having announcements for next-gen Ryzen as well as next-gen Radeon. And got pretty excited, but we didn't hear anything. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden, you log on to Fortnite, and you can see what the reference card looks like in the game. Crazy. So they showed off what their new reference card looks like. And people were like mad that this is what they did, right? Which
that's a huge audience.
It's a massive audience. And again, these are people that would be using your product.
Or if they are using, you know, like there's a lot of people also that play Fortnite on a store-bought machine, right? Or a pre-built or whatever. Yeah, you get this in front of them and they're like, oh, this does look cool, right? Like maybe I should upgrade what I'm playing on, and here's a card that'll do it. Yeah.
And this is the first time we've seen, is this the first time we've seen a hardware company use Fortnite? I remember like there was like Star Wars. We did Star Wars,
the movie trailers.
And the Travis Scott concert and some other concert.
Marshmallow. Yeah.
Yeah. So like.
So I remember back in the day when like, and this is, I mean, this is probably 10 years ago. They're like, oh, we're going to start seeing ads in game. Like you'd be driving, let's take, for example, like Grand Theft Auto, you'll drive down the road and the billboards, you know, along the highway will be for actual real products, right? Mm-hmm. We haven't necessarily seen that yet, I feel, but this could be like kind of a starting of product launches or advertisements within.
Well, the thing is, it's like it's taken this long for a hardware company to advertise in a video game. When again, we've had full concerts in Fortnite. We had the Star Wars, what was it? A special edition trailer that was shown, and then there was like stuff we could do in there. But like, it totally makes sense. I don't know why people were so upset about it. Looking at the card itself, I don't like it.
I think it looks good.
Every time I see an AMD reference design, minus the what was that? The Vega whatever it was. I don't even know what it was. What I really like. Remember the small card? What was the small AMD card?
Like the 290 or whatever.
I don't know what it was. Whatever it was, that's the last time I've liked a reference design from them. I do like it. I'm just scared at 3 fans because AMD. And but it is nice to see a dual 8-pin, not a triple 8-pin. So that makes me think that power would be under control with this.
No, I think it looks good.
Yeah, it does look good. I do see a Type-C here. A
little Type-C port there, yeah.
Which NVIDIA has completely abandoned. So that's interesting. Again, this is a render. This is a render of what it's going to look like. You know what I mean?
I don't know. That's interesting.
At least they're like doing stuff. I think that AMD knows that like NVIDIA has this marketing machine. They have Jensen, who like people like think is God.
You know,
and all this stuff. So I like this move by AMD for GPU. They just it's a good thing. It gets you excited. Obviously, it kind of put their name out there when everybody's talking about NVIDIA. So I like
it. I was pretty surprised too, though, because they just recently announced RTX for Fortnite, right? So you would have almost thought, like, maybe they've got some partnership with NVIDIA. I mean, it doesn't make sense to only have a partnership with one of them. But
this next gen Radeon cards are supposed to have real time ray tracing hardware in them. So we shall see.
We'll see.
But also, this week, leaked benchmarks of the card. These were in what game is this?
Is that the Ashes of Singularity?
Yeah, Ashes of Singularity. Yeah. We have these AMD Radeon graphics. We don't know, obviously, what they are. But it looks like, based on the performance, is that it's around the same performance of a 2080 Ti, which is great.
Yeah.
But if this is like their flagship card,
it's not a 3080.
It's not close to a 3080, and it's obviously not close to a 3090. So again, is AMD, like the 5700 XT competed with a 2070, mm-hmm. right?
They don't have something to compete with. 2060,
2070, that's what the 5700 XT competed against. Is this what we're seeing again? Is Big Navi just a now, because of NVIDIA, is it now just a mid-range card?
Right, when if they would have released it a while ago, could have been on the top end or, you know, yeah. towards.
Yeah, and that's what scares me about AMD is like...
They're always playing catch-up.
Yeah, they're always playing catch-up. I thought the 5700 XT was an excellent card for the price. For $400 at the time, it was an excellent value because the 2070 Super was what? $700?
No.
I thought it was. But in any case...
I paid like $570 for mine.
Yeah, but it was such a great value because you were getting really good performance for that price. And if this is going to come out and it's the same performance or relative performance to a 2080 Ti, that's great. But like, you have the 3080 and you have a 3090 coming and you have a 3070 coming, which the 3070 is supposed to be faster than a 2080 Ti again. So you're competing at what has seemed to be the mid range, right? Mm-hmm. That's kind of what you would be competing at. So it's just, I like to see this. I like to see the performance, but it just seems like it's like a year and a half too late.
Yep.
Yeah. I don't know what else to say about it besides that.
I don't think there is much we can say other than, man, I hope they catch up, but it just feels like that's all they're doing is playing catch up.
Yeah. That's just unfortunately kind of what it is. We also have some GPU news from Intel, which is a little surprising because they kind of, we heard all about it, then we didn't hear anything
for a while. Yeah.
So an Intel DG2, which is their developer, I don't know what the G stands for, whatever it stands for. Graphics, it's their developer, developer graphics, maybe. It's spotted with 6 gigabytes and 8 gigabytes of GDDR6 memory. That's nice. That's nice to see that we were getting like a real consumer specs, sort of, right? From what we know, that the Intel, at least the first one, will be like a 1660. Like, it's not going to be a high-end card, but it will be a consumer card. That's the most important thing, is that it will be a consumer card, probably a more affordable consumer card. And this just shows that there's like, we're going to see it. The latest that we've heard that it's going to come out in 2021 at some point. But yeah, it's good to see. It's good to see 8 gigabytes and 6 gigabytes, two different variants that we could see with Intel. I don't know.
That's pretty good, you know, amount of memory for a mid to low range chip, right? 6 and 8. We're still seeing that on current cards.
So. Yeah. And then we had this interesting interview with AMD, senior VP at AMD, talking about next gen Ryzen, and obviously he says it's going to be tremendously powerful, which we kind of expect. I think AMD has done great things with Ryzen, but we also, this leak came out saying that the next gen Ryzen is going to be called the 5000 series, not the 4000 series. They put out a tweet that says AMD Ryzen 9 5900X, which would be a 12 core, and AMD Ryzen 7 5800X. Now, this isn't too far like out of left field for me, just because we have Ryzen 4000 series now, which are APUs. Maybe they want to separate those. And then I have this weird thought. So they're on 6000 for the graphics cards, yeah. RX 6000. Maybe they want to catch up and have, you know, a Ryzen 9, you know, like once they get to 6000, have a 6000 series CPU with a 6000 series GPU, and it would be like, gotcha, all of this, all of this harmony coming together. Yeah. So like people are like, okay, I just need the 6000 series in the 6000 series. It makes it easier for the consumer as well.
Sure. Maybe. Yeah. Paris. Yeah. Yeah. No, yeah. I get that. Yeah. I wish that the APUs, they would have maybe gone with a different naming or numbering scheme.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah,
like, just make them instead of like the 4000, make them a 400 or whatever. So it's, you can differentiate a little, I don't know, a little more.
And they did add the G on the end.
Yeah.
But it's like, yeah, it would just make it much easier if it was, you know, just the normal thing. So yeah, what else we got here? We got a few more stories. Earlier, I think right after the last week's podcast, ARM announced that they will be getting acquired by NVIDIA. NVIDIA was kind of like the front runner for this. $40 billion. That's a nice chunk of change. For ARM, of course, is the big thing with ARM is they're going to be making the new chips that go in MacBooks, which, again, we don't talk about Mac all that much on this podcast, but that's a massive client for ARM.
Yeah.
And, you know, they moved away from Intel. You know, that was 4% of Intel's overall sales. So that's huge. And it's just like, this makes sense. Obviously, the NVIDIA Tegra processors, which are like they use in a ton of things, those were built by ARM, you know. And the thing is that's nice about this is that NVIDIA could leave just ARM as it is, and they could just collect royalties for all these chip sales, right? They don't have to do anything. But there was a story, which we did write an article about, I didn't link here, that Jensen did say that he kind of hinted that they could possibly make CPUs, and then NVIDIA could compete with Intel and AMD on the CPU front. That's way in the future.
Yeah.
And the thing with this too is that it has to get approved by like the EU and all of that.
Approval.
Yeah. So, but this is kind of expected. I think it's a good thing for NVIDIA. It's a huge buy. It allows them to expand kind of what they're doing and bring in obviously more money where they can do more R&D and do more other things, you know. So yeah, very very cool. There,
neat.
What else? Oh, another,
I'm like, this one really excited me when this
another
post
story
came out.
Another story out of left field, which it seems like. So we did see Logitech
with Herman
partner with Herman Miller for a gaming chair, and that gaming chair is $1,400, I believe.
It's not cheap.
Yeah, and traditionally Herman Miller has never been cheap. I think their Arions are $1,000 for a chair, which again I do agree is a good price, and they do come with like 12 or 15 year warranties. So if you think about that over 10 years, it makes sense. But IKEA makes cheap furniture. All those desks you see behind me are IKEA, and they were not expensive at all. These white shelves are also made by IKEA, and we're very cheap.
These glass display.
I'm sure most of us have something from IKEA in our house. And IKEA has partnered with ASUS ROG to provide affordable gaming furniture. Now, I don't know. We don't know what this will be. We don't have any
images or anything.
Yeah,
right? Are these images like? Did they come from?
No, IKEA? This is ROG. These are ROG.
They came from ROG. Yeah, ROG. Yeah. Okay.
So, could this just be IKEA wanting to penetrate the tech market and saying, "Okay, we'll partner with you. We'll put like your logo on it, and that's it." Mm-hmm. Right. I don't know. And like, imagine going into IKEA and like having one of the bedrooms be like an ASUS ROG bedroom. That'd be pretty cool.
I was like, man, because we only get that up there a couple times a year, and I always love going into those. Like, this is my 800 square foot house, and you're like, oh, this is so cool. They've got everything in here. Yeah, I can't wait to see one of these decked out and like glowing, just like those pictures. And that'd be amazing.
Yeah, it would be really, really cool. Wonder if they actually put real PCs in it, because anytime you go in the office and they have like
fake TVs and
laptops. The fake TVs and the fake laptops. And
all so that I'm stuff. Guessing like we'll get a chair because they do chairs. We'll get a desk or two.
Yes.
Maybe some cabinets. Maybe not cabinets.
I think
I don't know. What else do you think? Some monitor arms? or something?
I don't think. I think we'll get gaming chair, gaming desk to start.
Yeah. Maybe some RGB lighting stuff, because they do a lot of lights and they do have RGB strips. They have smart lights.
Yeah, something maybe like the desk will have RGB lighting built in, okay, which will be kind of cool. It's an interesting partnership. It's awesome for Asus, I think. To partner with a massive company like IKEA is pretty cool. And the thing with gaming chairs is, what do they average? $300 for a gaming chair?
Yeah, probably. And this is price is okay, but they all look like a dang race car chair. We've had them like that since DX Racer, you know, like that's the first one I can remember. And I'm like, well, that was cool, but we haven't changed a dang thing for the most part with it. Yeah. They still look like you pulled it out of a 1990s Fast and the Furious movie.
And like, it would be nice to make it a little bit more affordable for people. And I think IKEA is the way to do that. Joe says RGB enabled bookcases. Yeah, you can see Asus doing that. I think it's cool. I think it's a cool partnership. And IKEA is like 30 minutes away from me, so it'd be cool to just go in there and see what they have. Maybe we can do a video. Do they allow you to film in there? There's some places like they don't allow, like Trader Joe's, you can't film inside.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
we just got a Trader Joe's here. Like, we've probably had it for a year. I still haven't been in there. It's on the other side of town. Which is like 15 minutes is all.
My buddy Kosher texts in the house. He said IKEA is where it's at. Yeah. IKEA plus ROG equals fire. Yeah. It's a cool partnership. I'm excited for it. So, if I can get in there with camera and they'll allow me to film, it'd be kind of cool to go in there. And see. I really hope that that's what they do. They have they have all their bedrooms, like, you know, or like the kitchen set up. Like, to have an ROG bedroom would be really cool. Or at least
a works, you know, a battle station, right?
Yeah, or something like that in there. That'd be cool. They should have, like, when they announce that they have pro gamers in their gaming.
Streaming from a store, right? Yeah, it'd be perfect. Cool. It'd be awesome.
Yeah. Talking about another big company, this came out last week, I believe, is that Razer accidentally leaked personal information of more than 100,000 gamers due to a data breach. We see this all the time, and this begs the question, is that...
I don't even like calling this a data breach.
Yeah. Razer is one of the companies that requires you to have an account to use their software. Mm-hmm. They require it. With NZXT, their Cam software, and Corsair IQ. I don't think Corsair IQ even has a login. No. But with NZXT Cam, it does. But it's optional. You don't have to do it. With Razer software, you have to have an account to use their software. You have to. Which is great if you're like moving your keyboard and mouse to a new system and you want all your stuff saved in the cloud, that's great. But like, why can't I just have the option to not do it? You know what I mean? Right. Because now, like, I haven't even looked if my info was on this. You know what I mean? Because I use Razer products. I have a Razer Synapse account. And yeah, it's just, it is tough for me to justify like having to require a login if I want to change my RGB lighting on my keyboard, or if I want to, you know, remap a key on my keyboard or my mouse. Yeah. It's
kind of crazy.
Yeah, that kind of is not good.
Well, thankfully, I don't think I've ever owned a Razer product or installed Razer Synapse, so I don't.
They do the smart thing. They do the smart thing, which I call the hack, because it used to be a hack that you could do on USB devices. As soon as you plug in the USB device, Asus does this on their motherboards as well. It asks you to download the software. It's so smart because people are like, oh, what's the URL to download the software? Where's the CD? Like, you know what I mean? Like, so it is Asus does that with their Armory Crate when you get a new Asus motherboard, and Razer does it with their stuff, which I like, but I just don't want to log in. I won't have to log in. And then finally, our last little piece of news this week is that Crysis Remastered 8K tech trailer is out. And again,
I'll watch it in 4K. Like,
again, it like looks cool, but it's still like the old game. Like, all right, I'll bring it up here. Like, you guys can see it here. And it it looks cool, but it's like, again, it's still not
amazing.
It's not like, if you watch the Cyberpunk ray tracing thing from the NVIDIA announcement, it looks 1,000 times better than this. Like, this looks cool and this looks great with like real time reflections and stuff like that, but it's still like the original Crysis game. So that's a little, I don't know.
Yeah.
But if you want to check it out, it's in our article. You guys can go ahead and check that out. And then finally, we come to what we have coming up next week. Corsair announced new AIOs, and you have one.
I do.
You have the IQ H150i Elite Capellix. They're calling these Capellix because the pump block has the Capellix RGB LEDs, mm-hmm. which we first saw on their Dominator Platinum RGBs, which I have over here, which I love looking at. and that's the 360 millimeter version that you have.
Right. Which it's pretty cool. New pump design. Obviously the Capellix RGBs, RGB fans, kind of some unique stuff you can do with that pump top.
Cool.
We don't have a screen on there or anything, but you got a little customization that we'll kind of show you. But
nice. Yeah. So you'll be taking a look at that. And Paul will be taking a look at a case from Silverstone. It is the Farah B1. Kind of like their simple case, and I think that not a lot of these cases get a whole lot of love because they're not crazy, but like it's kind of like those inexpensive NZXT cases. They just like get the job done.
Yeah.
And they look nice. Tempered glass on the front. A kind of like nice looking design on the front. The Silverstone logo does light up with RGB lighting, which is cool as well. So yeah, I like these cases. I forget the price on this, but it's not very expensive. So we'll have a look at that. Kosher says that AIO better not cost $400. How much is that one?
I said, I can tell you it does not cost $400. On their site, let's see, the 360, find a retailer. Let's just pick Newegg. It didn't come up. I forget how much it is.
I think it's two something.
It is two something.
Yeah, it's over 200. I remember when I
which is a little pricey.
Yeah. That's welcome. We now like really seeing the Corsair tax, I call it. Because we have the Razer tax as well.
Yeah. Well, soon you'll be able to be a Corsair stockholder.
Yeah, Corsair. Yeah. They did send me some cool stuff. I wish I had me a Yeti.
Have a nice Yeti.
I love
some, some webcam covers. I saw.
Yeah, some cool stuff. Which obviously wouldn't fit on this because this is an actual camera, not a webcam. Yeah. But yeah, and then I will also have a review of a graphics card. I can't tell you what it is, but I'm sure you can guess what the next graphics
card might be.
What it might be. So, so that is basically it for this week. Yeah. We always talk about if we did anything cool tech-wise. Obviously, I've been testing graphics cards and not sleeping very much. It was actually like today was like because I was done with my video, done with my reviews. I felt so relieved. I felt like I felt like a new human today. So I haven't really done. We've been like ordering food because I haven't had time to cook. Like I've just been not
man.
Like,
sitting there eating and typing.
Oh, testing. Yeah, so
I bought like it's crazy like the price that I paid for this. But I have a laptop that's like 2-3 years old probably. It's a Dell I don't remember the model. Inspiron something. It's like a gaming laptop, you know. It's not thin and light. It's not chunky. I mean it has like a 7th gen i5, came with 8 gigs of RAM. I think like a 1050 Ti or something like that. But I decided to get some memory. So I ordered up. There we go. Nice. Two 16 gig sticks. So 32 gigs of 2400 megahertz Vengeance from Corsair off of Amazon. Like, what do you think this cost? Or like,
well, you told me, so I can't.
I told you, I know. $104 for 32 gigs of RAM. Like, you tell me that like 2 years ago, and I'd be like, no, you're lying to me. Shut up. So I think I'm going to make a quick video on just like, you know, installing the memory in the laptop. And
that's a good idea. I think a lot of people, that's like a scary thing, especially like those little screws.
It can be on some systems though.
Yeah.
Right.
There's little screws. And then if you like lose the screw, you're like,
So that's one thing I love about this laptop is, so the bottom of it, there is a single screw. This right here.
Nice.
And then that's this it. Whole panel comes off and you have like easy access to the memory, the M.2, the optional 3.5 inch drive, or
two and a half inch drive.
Thank you. Gosh. 2.5 inch drive, right? So I've got those. I almost bought a NVMe drive because it came with just a SATA M.2 drive. And I was like, maybe I'll get an NVMe. I'm not going to realize the performance increases on this system. So I was like, and it's, you know, it's getting 3 years old, but there were some things I was doing where I was getting up to 8 gigs of memory use. So
for I've been thinking about getting a new laptop, but I think I'm going to wait till we see the mobile 380s. And, but again, I'm like, is it even like, should I just get like a nice Ultrabook that doesn't have any of that just for the fact that like, I'm not going to game on it, but then I just like want that extra performance for video editing. So it's like, and but then I also want a thin and light. Like I want something that doesn't, is not heavy.
I know. I was like, man, maybe I should just get a new laptop. And I was like, no, I don't need to spend that money. I don't use this thing. Like it's not my daily driver.
Yeah.
I don't, you know, but I wanted to improve it.
This is what Old Man said. This is something that I have never owned and I think I need to own. He said, I need magnetic tray for little screws. There's so many times where I'm reviewing cases or any of the stuff that I have back here and I take off a screw and it just, like, you know, a screw goes under like under something, you'll never find it again. Yeah, it's gone forever.
I always have that. I wish I had.
I think that's what I'm going to get you for Christmas. I'm going to get you a magnetic screw thing.
Two. And it's because it usually happens when I'm like reviewing a case and I'm taking stuff out of one case and putting it in another. So you're like got thumb screws or screws from the one and I keep them like, oh, here's the pile from that case.
Yeah.
Here's the pile from that case. And then you're like, oh, well, they're the same color. Like what is
we should get ones made that have Think Computers logo on it. Yeah, that'd be cool.
Or maybe not a bowl. You could do a bowl, but like a mat, like a magnetic mat. To stick them on, I think that'd be easier to get the thin computers. Unless you did like the metal ones and had it like laser engraved.
Yeah, we'll figure it out at that time. But that's Old Man. That's a great idea. Yeah. But yeah, besides that, that's pretty much it. So I'm excited to see that video that you make for that. So we'll have that up on the YouTube as always. I think we're pretty much done. We're gonna play some games.
Duos tonight, or it's gonna be you and I and a rando because Jenny is not available to play tonight. So
we'll do some duos. We haven't done duos in a while.
We haven't done duos. I think there's maybe some limited time modes.
So. Yeah, so we'll do that. So we'll be over on Twitch, twitch.tv/thinkcomputer. So head on over there. Ryan should have the stream up as soon as soon as we're off here.
And shortly after this.
Yeah, I'll probably grab something to eat real quick and we'll be on there playing. If you want to join us, check out our Discord. Yeah. We have that linked as well. So if you want to jump in and play some games with us, you can go ahead and do that. We're playing Apex Legends, so get Apex and go ahead and play with us. We want to thank everybody for stopping by the live stream. And of course, everybody who listens to the podcast in general. We have a great time talking to you guys. And thanks for listening. And we will definitely see you guys next week. Also next week, because of a certain graphics card launch, we will be doing the podcast again on Thursday, right? You said you were good with that?
You haven't asked me.
Oh, I thought I did. I know
that you've been in video card review.
Yeah. So. Well, if it's okay with Ryan, we'll do the podcast again on Thursday so we can talk about a graphics card.
Yeah, because I think I'm going to be off Thursday and Friday next week. Right, to our garage sale. Nice. So I'll be,
Okay, cool. So next Thursday, guys, we will be back on here talking about another graphics card. So until next week, we will catch you guys later.